It was 2 days after Christmas in 1999 and a friend's 21st birthday. The plan for celebration included a 2.5-hour drive down to Atlantic City, New Jersey, so we could try our luck at the slot machines and see a comedy show. I was 22 years old, and this holiday season was a special one for me. After struggling with an eating disorder, anorexia nervosa, I had recently started making progress toward healing, both mentally and physically. I got my period back after being diagnosed with amenorrhea, a side effect of starving myself from a healthy 115 pounds to a skeletal 90 in a futile attempt to gain control over my life. My mother called it an early Christmas present. Even the anxiety and depression, the real reason I turned to food as a means for control in the first place, had begun to lift. I remember saying to my mother, "I can actually say I'm starting to feel happy again." And on Christmas morning, I gave her a huge hug and said, "I love you." Despite the sometimes overpowering yet always unconditional love my mother showed me on a daily basis, we didn't always say the words, "I love you," out loud. Yet something drove me to do so that morning. Getting ready to head out the door to see my therapist before heading to Atlantic City, I said goodbye to my mom, who was home from work that week for the holiday break. We were both in a great mood, laughing as we tried on our new clothes from Christmas, and she modeled all the new shoes I had bought her. She always loved fashion and matching outfits, shoes, and jewelry, a trait she passed on to me. After therapy, I stopped back at the house to grab a few things before heading out again, but she had already left to visit a friend. I was getting over a cold at the time and found a note from her next to a bottle of cough medicine, reminding me to take some before I left. This was so typical for her. She used to wake me up in the middle of the night with medicine if I had a fever so it wouldn't spike up while I slept. I took the cough medicine, grabbed my purse, and left for a day of fun with my friend. That night, the comedy show ran late. Knowing my mother would worry, I stopped at a payphone to call her and let her know I would be home soon. But instead of my mom's voice, a man answered the phone. I immediately hung up and called back, assuming I had dialed the wrong number. That's when I heard my cousin say, "Tammy, it's Joey, don't hang up." And in that split second, my life changed forever. "Your mom was in a car accident," he said. "But is she okay?" I asked. All he could say was, "We don't know." I kept asking over and over, desperate for reassurance, but he couldn't give it to me. He honestly didn't know. Nobody did. I hung up with tears running down my face and said to my friend, "Something happened to my mother. I have to get home." The 2.5-hour drive home seemed like days, and all I could do was stare out the window, tears streaming down my face as I begged God to save her. He couldn't take my mother. Not my mother. How would I survive without her? I grasped on to my Catholic roots and began to pray the rosary to the Blessed Mother. For some reason, I couldn't shake the feeling this was worse than what my cousin had explained. Something in me knew there was more to this story. I clung to my prayers in the hope they would make a difference. And by the time we arrived at my house, it was almost 1 a.m. I remember walking up to the front door, not even noticing the street was lined with cars of our friends and family. As I walked through the door and into our living room, I was immediately greeted by a crowd. It looked like a party. People sat in the living room and dining room, and I could smell coffee brewing in the kitchen. But this was no party. My eyes darted around the room, and everyone whose gaze I met, aunts, uncles, cousins, and friends, had a blank expression. This wasn't good. "Somebody better tell me what the F is going on," I said, as my Aunt Neva, my cousin Joey, and my dad ushered me up the stairs and into my parents' bedroom. Shutting the door behind us, they sat me on the bed. It was even worse than I had imagined. My mother had had a brain aneurysm. She was lying unconscious in a New York City hospital bed, and the doctors didn't know if she was ever going to wake up. She had initially lost consciousness at her friend's house. When she woke back up and found out her friend had called 911, she immediately grabbed her purse and ran out of the house. She was always afraid of doctors and must have been frightened that an ambulance was on its way. Behind the wheel of the car, she blacked out again and drove her car over someone's lawn and straight into a telephone pole. According to the police report, when the ambulance found her, she was unconscious and laying across the front seat.